by the help of God, I would direct you to the 61st of Isaiah and the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that ye might be glorified. Isaiah chapter 61. It's a long text, but it's impossible to separate it. And it is one of the most blessed declarations in the whole Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father, and he was the head of the church. He was sent to do a work, and that work was the redemption of his people, a work which was essential to the glory of God. If the Lord dealt differently with his people from hell, he deals with the wicked, that is, to be more lenient with them because they are his people in covenant, it would be an injustice. His people are equal sinners with the reprobates. They are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity, every one of them. But in the covenant of grace and in the eternal purposes and decrees of Jehovah, he determined to choose a people from the earth for himself. And there are two things named which sets this forth in the 63rd chapter of this prophecy. They are created and formed, two great things in experience. I think that's worth just looking at, the 43rd. But thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And lower down, I think the 21st verse, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. You take those two things together, and this must be the experience of every one of his people. He created all, but this is a new creation. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, there's not a greater, more blessed declaration in the Word of God. New created, reformed in the formation, in contrast with as I born. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. What a shape. But he reforms them. And that reformation derives from predestination. Being predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Look at it, friends. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity, conformed to the image of God's dear Son. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. It was a matchless condescension in the eternal God, the eternal Son, co-equal with the Father. It was a condescension in him to be anointed, and a condescension in him to come and save poor sinners. As God, he could not be anointed. All that was done by the Lord Jesus was according to his mediatorial office. He became his Father's servant. And just on that point, it is to be noticed and admired that in the 14th of John to the end, the Lord Jesus never addressed God as God. He dropped that. He finished the work that his Father gave him to do, and therefore he was Father. Now this has connection with his people, individuals. I have said before, and I don't mind saying it again, I have a great feeling for individuals. Oh, my dear friend, even in a natural way, we know not the sorrows, the pains, the griefs that people have individually. That's but one thing. But oh, when you come to look at eternity and then look at individuals, what a great thing it is, and the Lord knows those individuals that are his. But the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He was anointed to preach. And everyone, every minister that is sent to preach is anointed in a more or less degree to preach. And that anointing is not a type. I think it's important to realize that we have many types in the scripture, but this anointing is a direct anointing from the head of the church, the Lord Jesus, down upon his people. And one more thing about that anointing. People in the pew that come with grace in their heart, who come to receive something from heaven for their eternal salvation, they need the same anointing to hear as a man does to preach. Oh, vital godliness is not an haphazard affair. It's by divine appointment. And it'd be a mercy if our lives are carried through in all its windings and changing scenes by divine appointment. It is, life is very short. I'm getting older now, and my life seems short. But that's not the worst of it. Oh, it's sin, sin stained. All our lives are sin stained. But there's a remedy. The virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ is infinite virtue. It is as infinite as himself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to other men. He's anointed him to do it. And what an importance that puts upon preaching. Not upon the preacher. The office, the appointment, the preaching. The method. But then there's another thing to look at here. These characters. And if we've got none of these characters in the scriptures, the text and the preaching will be no good at all. Now these are the people. To bind up the brokenhearted, the captives, and the mourners. And it is to these that the Lord is sent to preach. To preach good tidings. He preaches one thing to them all. Not a separate thing to one and something else to another, but one thing. And that one thing here is called good tidings. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's good tidings. There's an amazement in these good tidings. I might have said before, but talking about things is a very insignificant word, and yet a most important word. There's hardly anything that you can speak about but what it is, things. But with respect to salvation, there's two things. There are the things of God and the things of men. And therefore there is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of this world. And that will help us a little here. Preach good tidings unto the meek. And these good tidings are the gospel, which shows what salvation is, a great salvation, and those who are saved by grace. Good tidings that sin, mortal sin, sin which can never be defined, sin which has in its issue eternal death, that and these good tidings is that sin is pardonable. I believe that it once saved me from sinking into despair. Just that consideration, sin is pardonable. And it is pardonable in a complete way. One way is according to the Lord by the Romans, that he can forget it. Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. What does that mean to a sinner that is sunk in it, overwhelmed with it, sinking in it? Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. And another one is, thy sins I will blot out as a thick cloud, thy sins and as a thine iniquities, and as a cloud thy sins. He blots them out. He doesn't just cross them off, because they could be seen and they'd still be under the cross. He blots them out, they're gone. And in Jeremiah we read of Jeremiah seeking for sin and not being able to find it. And that's in one of our hymns. But this is good tidings to some people. Is it anything to you? Because if I'm speaking the truth, I shall be describing those whom God loves, those who have heaven before them. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. That's one character, meek. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. That glorious one, the creator of all that is, unspeakably glorious and great. His greatness is unsearchable. He was meek and lowly in heart. And he speaks to such people. What do you think and what do you feel when you come to such a character as this and look at yourself? It does us good, my friend. The Lord can meek and he can turn a lion into a lamb, and they shall feed together we read in the 11th chapter of this prophecy. Good tidings to the meek. A meek spirit is very beautiful. The opposite is most objectionable. You look at the opposite of to these characters. The meek. What is the opposite? The proud. The self-sufficient. The independent. But the meek is one whom the Lord has meekened by affliction, exercise of soul, walking in darkness, feeling to be exposed and pursued, and taking away a sense of any hope in the mercy of God, bringing him among those that persecute him, he can meet and his people. Meekness and humility go together. You can't be proud and meek together. But he sent the priest good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. That doesn't mean naturally brokenhearted, although he can comfort people. But it means one that is brokenhearted on account of what they are. It's expressed differently in the Word of God, as for instance, Hezekiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, dwell among men of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, I've seen him. Woe is me. Meek spirit, you'll bow down. And oh, how you will worship him in this spirit of weakness, as you read in the 95th Psalm. When we pray, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Bow down, kneel before our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted for sin, the sight of self. Is profitable. Indeed, it is essential that we have a knowledge of ourselves as sinners. And that, together, when the Holy Ghost graciously reveals the Savior in his meekness and brings into your heart that which gives you fellowship with him in his sufferings, when the Holy Ghost gives you to know the price that you cost him for your sins. The whole of that you'll find in the 51st chapter, in the 53rd chapter of this prophecy. Good tidings to the meek. He was meek himself. It's well, my friends, to watch our hearts while we're trying to speak. I know it's feeble, but here it is. And this is spoken of this glorious one, in whose lips was no guile. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Meek. Look at his meekness, and it was love in meekness that he carried. All of you belong to him. The whole election of grace was in him, and whatever he did for them. And he presented his sacred body to his wretched enemies, those rude men, the scum of the earth. Did this glorious one, whom seek ye? And Jesus, I am he. Then let these go their way. He was their protector. He would never have allowed those men to touch his disciples, but here am I. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted for sin? Have you ever shed a tear for sin? Or is it simply a word of three letters? Oh, to have a broken heart. To bind up the broken hearted. It's a sweet experience, a bittersweet. There's every grace in exercise moving, and you'll feel it. You'll feel it moving within your inside. There'll be every grace. There will be love. There will be repentance for sin. And every grace of the Spirit is in this brokenness of heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You see, these are experiences. We must remember that, and you will if you're there. Have we been in these places? Have we ever felt this meekness and brokenheartedness? Have we ever been made prisoners in captivity and cannot get out? You see, a prison, one that's in captivity, is in a place he wouldn't be if he could help it. He'd make his escape if he could. The prisoners of the Lord make haste to escape, but this is the way of it. And liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound. The deliverance is very blessed. But when the Lord puts his people in prison, he either puts them there, you know. He'll put you in prison if he thinks that you deserve it, and it'll do you good. And you know you've got the sentence of death in your time. There's only one thing that can come between a sinner under the sentence of eternal death, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he came for, to bring life to death, to bring light to darkness, to open the eyes of the blind. What a work he does in his people. Not only has he finished the work that his Father gave him to do, the work itself, that he did himself, that he suffered himself, the agony, especially when his poor human nature was human. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, Father. But not my will, but thine be done. Oh, the agony of his soul. For some of you, and so here, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, David speaks of it in the 142nd Psalm. Finishes that psalm with it. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. But we need to be dealt with. We need to know what a prison is. How easily we can be taken by the devil at his will. We're not in heaven yet. We're sinners yet. When Satan came to the Lord Jesus in his temptations, he could find nothing. He couldn't find anything at all. But we're full of it. He's got plenty in us. But the Lord, he sent to preach. These are good tidings. There's a way of escape. There's a heaven prepared for his people. And there's a way there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This acceptable year doesn't mean 12 months. It's an acceptable period. And strictly speaking, it is the time, the period, that he was here upon the earth. For then the work of salvation was begun and carried on and finished. And it was an acceptable period. And the first thing acceptable in it was Christ himself. Oh, how acceptable he was to his divine Father. From heaven twice he heard it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And my dear friend, it seems as though this couldn't be true. But I feel warranted to say so, that the Divine Father says of all his dear, all those that he gave to his Son, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. He says the same thing of them that he did concerning his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that belongs to some of you who are his. me to preach it. If you're Christ, he looks down upon you, knows you by name, knows you in the covenant of grace, loves you with an everlasting love, and that belongs to you. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And why? Because it is declared that they are accepted in the Beloved, and also ye are complete in Christ, accepted in Him and complete in Him, completely holy, partaking of His divine nature, to proclaim the acceptable year. Oh, how acceptable was the work of Christ to the law. He was acceptable to the law. They were under the law. The Lord Jesus delivered them from that captivity. The law would have been just that all men should have perished if it had not been the Lord Jesus was acceptable, and His acceptability is that of His person, that He was God's eternal Son, a second person in the Blessed Trinity, co-equal, co-eternal, immutable, divine. And His people acceptable in Him and complete as He's complete. These are the good tidings. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, and sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everything He did was acceptable, it was perfect. It was not perfect only, He included that, but not only because it was perfectly done, but it had the perfection of the blessed Lord Jesus in it. It was Christ's perfection. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. There's a vast difference between mourning and misery. Oh, mourning is sweet. To mourn, difficult to describe. It's a bittersweet. Oh, love and grief compound an unction both to cleanse the soul and heal. That's mourning. Oh, the love there is in the mourning soul. Oh, the confession of sin. Oh, the longing after the Lord. This is a longing soul. And He will comfort that mourner. Have we ever mourned? Either bring about those other graces in exercise. It'll make you meek, humble, not weak. So you can be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and be as meek as a kitten. In Isaiah 11th chapter it speaks of that. We need to look at ourselves. My eyes are not very good. The wolf, is it? In our natural state, we're like a wolf, like a savage. But the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. That's it. Exactly it. And what we want to feel, my dear friends, as we read the Word of God, is there anything going between you and the truth? Have you been connected with it in your experience? Otherwise, it's just a lecture. And it would make this book just a history book. But it is an inspired book with all the purposes and counsels and decrees of God for His people through time, right through eternity. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. What if there are ashes, there's been a fire. You can't have ashes without a fire. And the Lord says later on, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And He puts His people in the furnace. He knows what power will suit their case. He knows how long to keep them there. And He knows when to take them out. To give them beauty for ashes. And then for those ashes, for all their burnt things, for they will be much burnt up. I believe I've had much burnt up this last 12 months since I was ill. There'll be some ashes, things that you thought much of, thought were quite right, have been burnt up. You burn up everything but the work of the Holy Ghost in your heart. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. What a change, beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. There's another secret, He planted them. They were planted in Him in the covenant of grace, though they were born in sin. I do feel, it's not for me to criticize, I don't want to do that. But some people have an idea that the Lord's people are goats until they're called by grace, but they're not. They're born sheep. In the covenant of grace chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. The planting of the Lord. not the planting of some men and some ideas of religion, but the planting of the Lord Himself by the Spirit. You feel as if you were planted. You